Yeah, so we're going to start from again from 15 lines from the bottom on Kuf Yadal Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Huna, Va'amri Lo, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Yom HaKippurim Shecholios B'Shabbos Aser B'Kenivas Yerek. The Gemara discusses a very, very strange practice that they used to do on Yom Kippur, which we, as we'll see, we don't really do this anymore. They used to prepare salad on Yom Kippur for after the fast. Now, normally we know that you're not allowed to do anything on Yom Kippur for after the fast. It's like hachana, right? It's like preparing. And in this case, it might even be malacha, because kenivas yerek involves tochen, involves chopping up vegetables or fruit or whatever it is to small pieces. So that could potentially be a problem. So the Gemara says that only when Yom Kippur falls out on a Shabbos is it a problem to do this kenivas yerek. Obviously implying that if it's on a weekday, then it would be okay. So the Gemara explains, Amar of Mana, Tana, Minayin Liyom HaKippurim Shecholios B'Shabbos She'asar B'Kenivas Yerek. Where do we know that if Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos that you're not allowed to, you know, prepare the salad on Yom Kippur? Talmud Lomar Shabbason Shavos. The Pasuk says Shabbason. When describing Yom Kippur, the Torah says you have to rest on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says that means you have to rest. So what does that mean? Lamai. Ilim Alimalacha V'Hachziv Losasa Chomalacha. If the Torah means don't do malacha, we already know that. We already, because the Torah also says, lo sasa kol malacha. Why would I need another pasuk of Shabbason to teach me not to do malacha if I already knew that? So the Gemara says, it must be el alava kenivas yerek shmamina. It must mean that pasuk of Shabbason teaches me that I'm not allowed to even do the practice of kenivas yerek, of preparing the salad, when Yom Kippur falls out on a Shabbos. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Chiya Barabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yom HaKippurim Shecholios B'Shabbos Mutter B'Kenivas Yerek. So Rabbi Chiya disagrees. Rabbi Chiya says that when Yom Kippur falls out on a Shabbos, I am allowed to prepare the salad. So the Gemara says, Meisvei minayin Yom HaKippurim Shecholios B'Shabbos She'asar B'Kenivas Yerek Talmud Lomar Shabbason Shavos Lemai Ilema Limalacha V'Hachziv Lo Sasa Chomalacha El Alav B'Kenivas Yerek. So the Gemara says, so don't you see from here basically the drasha that we quoted in the previous part of the Gemara, that the word Shabbason in the Pasuk teaches me that I'm not allowed to do Kenivas Yerek, I'm not allowed to prepare the salad when Yom Kippur falls out on a Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. The Gemara says that really the word Shabbason is also teaching me that I'm not allowed to do malacha on Yom Kippur. Why do I need another pasuk for that if we already learned that from Lo Sasa Kol Malacha? The Gemara says, because we want to throw the book at you. We want to make you chayav double. We want to make you chayav both for an asay and for a lav, because Shabbason is only an asay. Lo Sasa Kol Malacha is a lav. So, you know, the Gemara has this principle in many places, right? The idea of what's called, like, you know, lav or aleha b'shnei lav. We want to kind of make you chayiv twice. In this case, we want to make you chayiv an asay and a lav. So the Gemara says, you don't have to say that the pasuk of Shabbason teaches me that I'm not allowed to prepare a salad on Yom Kippur. Maybe that's mutter to do, and the pasuk is teaching me almost like an additional isser of not doing malacha on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara now says,
yeah. Why would you ever have the Havamina that you could even do anything on Yom Kippur in preparation of
the So that's a good question. So the Gemara is actually going to address this in a second, but the simple answer is because the Torah says regarding Yom Kippur, V'inisem es nafsho seichem, you have to afflict yourself. Now, we usually translate to mean don't eat, don't drink, right, fast, you know, don't wear leather shoes, etc. But the Gemara seems to be assuming here somehow that inui is a proactive thing. I have to make myself in more pain. How do you do that? So if you're staring at food the whole day, you're in more pain. It's almost like psychological. So we're going to see that that many Rishonim actually disagree with this understanding. There's some Rishonim who say that you dafka have to make food on Yom Kippur because it gets you all, kind of riles you up and it makes you even hungrier, and that's like a fulfillment of inui. Most Rishonim say that that's not what inui means. Inui just means you have to fast. There's no mitzvah for me to start, doing things to make myself, physically in pain apart from, fasting and all the regular things that are associated with Yom Kippur. So the Gemara explained, yeah, what was that?
You need food and you want to eat it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanya kivasei to Rabbi Yochanan, Yom HaKippurim Shecholios B'Shabbos Mutter B'Kenivas Yerek. So again, the Gemara is now echoing the Shita that we just quoted a second ago, that I am in fact allowed to prepare the salad even on Shabbos, even Yom Kippur falls out on a Shabbos. And the Gemara explains, Mefatzin Be'agozim Mefarkasin Be'rimonim Me'hamincha Ulamala Mibnei Agmas Nefesh. This line in the Gemara seems to corroborate what we just said, which is that I'm allowed to, to crack open the nuts and to peel the pomegranates and whatever it is from Mincha time and onwards. In other words, from during the afternoon of Yom Kippur, because again, of Agmas Nefesh, which again, the simple understanding of Agmas Nefesh is that, you know, that's the time of day. You know, it's getting later in the day of Yom Kippur. People are getting hungrier, so that's a time when, you know, that's more of a fulfillment of Inui. The Gemara says, Devei Rav Yehuda, Mekan Vekarva, Devei Rabba Gar Dekare. So in Rav Yehuda's house, they used to chop up beets, and in Rabba's house, they used to scrub pumpkins and gourds, whatever, on Yom Kippur. Kevon Dechazet Dehavu Kamecharfe. Once they realized that people were preparing the salads much earlier in the day, like in the morning, so then Amar Lehu, Asa Igarta Mimaravam Yishmei Rab Yochanan Dasir. Then they started telling everyone and their family, that there was a letter that came from Rabbi Yochanan from Eretz Yisrael that said that you're not allowed to do this anymore. So basically, Bazman Hazeh, we don't do Kenivas Yarek. Kenivas Yarek has been outlawed. No one does it anymore. Even on a regular Yom Kippur, we don't do this anymore. So again, this was all a practice which, in theory, was meant to enhance, so to speak, your level of Inu, your level of affliction on Yom Kippur. But again, as we pointed out, many Rishonim don't even agree to that understanding of the principle of Inui in the first place. And the Gemara itself seems to assume that Kenivas Yarek is usher even during the week. It's usher across the board. Okay, so the Gemara says, so fine. So, yeah.
Somebody's got to mute their phone. Getting terrible feedback.
Yeah, I hear some static also. Okay, so fine. So now moving on. This next parak that we're about to start of Kol Kisve is a parak that we've actually referenced many times earlier in the Masechta, and it actually has a lot of theoretical relevance today, but as we'll see, practically has very little relevance in terms of one specific halacha. So just to give a bit of background, this parak primarily discusses issues about salvaging things from a fire on Shabbos. So specifically, we're going to focus on saving, Kisvei HaKodesh, Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzahs, books of Nach, things of that nature. We're also going to get into, just saving regular things, like if a house burns down on Shabbos. So all those areas, the reason why it's really not so practical today is because today we just assume that if a fire ever breaks out in a house, it's automatically deemed to be Pikuach Nefesh. In the times of the Gemara, when houses were spread far apart, there was no chance that if a fire catches one house, it's going to spread anywhere, because the houses were miles apart. There was no pikuach nefesh. There was just a chance that maybe you were going to lose your possession. So that's not obviously reason to be mechal Shabbos. In other words, chil Shabbos only obviously comes when there's pikuach nefesh involved. So a lot of these halachos are theoretical, but some of the points that we're going to be able to extract from these halachos are going to be very relevant, as we'll see. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Kol kisvei hakodesh matzilin osod mipnei hadleika, bein shekorin bahen uvein she'ein korin bahen, afal pi sheksuvim b'chol lashon teunim geniza. The Mishnah says that any kisvei hakodesh, any books of Tanakh, you can save them from the fire, in other words, to spare them from getting burnt on Shabbos. And the Mishnah says that's true regardless of whether it's a book of Tanakh that we read from or that we don't read from, or let's say it's one of the books of Ksuvim that we never read from, like Sefer Daniel or Sefer Nehemiah, whatever it is, you're allowed to salvage it. Even, says the Mishnah, even if the Sefer is written in any language. And the Mishnah says they also require Geniza, that if something starts to wear out, you also need to bury it. Umimneima in Korin Bahem, Mimnei Bittel Beis HaMedrash. The Mishnah says, why is it that we don't typically read from Ksuvim on Shabbos? So even though, of course, we know that Ksuvim are part of Tanakh, the Mishnah says that the reason why we don't read Ksuvim specifically on Shabbos is because the Mishnah says that's like Bittel Beis HaMedrash. It's almost like Bittel Torah. Why is it Bittel Torah to read Ksuvim? So the way the most Rishonim explain this is because in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, so the people who were coming to the Shiurim on Shabbos did not typically learn during the week. Their only real learning every week was on Shabbos. So the Rav, the people of the community, or the Chachamim, felt that it was more important for them to learn Halacha than to spend their time learning, stories in Tanakh, or learning stories in Ksuvim. So the Mishnah uses a very strong language, that learning Ksuvim on Shabbos afternoon is almost like Bittel Torah, because you're supposed to be spending your time learning Halacha and learning things that are a little bit more relevant and practical. So the Gemara...
Rabbi, in those days, obviously everything was written on a scroll.
Right.
Handwritten on a scroll.
Yeah.
I understand that perhaps today might be different... Today we have printed books.
Right. That's another question. Yeah. That's an additional question. What's the status of a chumash, of a printed sefer? Does it have the same level of kedusha as a sefer Torah, as a book of Tanakh? That's a very complicated question. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good. It's a little bit beyond the scope of this immediate discussion, but it's discussed by the post game about how do we treat meaning even not in a situation where there's a fire, even just stam. You know, let's say I have a sefer that's starting to wear out. Do I need to do I have to bury it? Do I have to do geniza? Do I have to do I have to put it into shemus, etc. That's a big discussion. Okay, so the Gemara says it. Marha yuksuvim targum o bechalashon. Rav Huna amar ein matzilin oson bebnei hadleika. For Rav Chista amar matzilin oson bebnei hadleika. We have a machlokes regarding the following situation. Let's say I have a book of Tanakh, for example, but it's written in a different language. Either it's written in Aramaic, or it's written in English, or French, or whatever. It's not written in Lashon HaKodesh. So Rav Huna says that I am not allowed to save such a sefer from the fire, because it doesn't have regular Kedusha. In other words, it's not written in Lashon HaKodesh. But Rav Chista says that I am allowed to save it from the fire. So the Gemara explains. Aliba demand amar nitnu likros pahen dechule amalo pligi dematzilin. According to the opinion that says that I'm allowed to read from a book of Tanakh that's written in any language, which again is the whole discussion in Brachos and in Sota and a few other places, so then everyone agrees that I'm allowed to save it. Meaning, if you think that you could take a, let's say a book of Tanakh, or let's say a book of Nach that's written in English, and I can use that to read from, then of course you're allowed to save that from a fire, because that has real Kedusha, according to that opinion. However, ki plige aliba demand amar lo nitnu likros b'han. The question is, what about according to the other opinion that says that if a book of Tanakh, a book of Nach is written in a different language, that I cannot use that to read from? What's the machlokes? Rav Huna amar ein matzilin dehalo nitnu likros b'han. So Rav Huna says, obviously you can't save that, because no one reads from this thing. No one reads from a book of Nach written in English, so therefore I have no right to be Mechal Shabbos to save it. However, Rav Chista amar matzilin mishum bizyon kisvei HaKodesh, whereas Rav Chista disagrees. Rav Chista says that even though it's true that no one reads from an English book of Nach, but if I don't salvage it from the fire, it's going to be a terrible bizyon to kisvei HaKodesh. It's going to be degrading. It's going to be, it's going to be undermining the Kedusha of books of Nach, and even though no one's reading from it, but it's still almost a little bit of like a slap in the face to the book of Nach, even though it's written in a different language. So the Gemara now explains Tanan, Kol kisvei HaKodesh matzilin osan mebnei hadleika bein shekorin bahen bein shein korin bahen af al pi sheksuvin b'chol lashon. So the Gemara says, quoting our Mishnah, that any kisvei HaKodesh, any book of Nach, I can save from the fire regardless of whether I read from it. And in other words, the Gemara says, even though it's written in any language. So the Gemara says, my lav shekorin bahen neviim v'shein korin bahen ksuvim af al pi sheksuvin b'chol lashon delo nitnu likros bahen v'katani matzilin usiyufta de Rav Huna. The Gemara says, our Mishnah seems to be a clear refutation to Rav Huna. Why? Because Rav Huna was the one who told us that you're not allowed to salvage something from a fire if it's not written in Lashon HaKodesh. The problem is that our Mishnah said that any Kisvei HaKodesh, regardless of whether you read it or not, regardless of what language it's written in, you can save from the fire. That seems to be an open and shut contradiction to Rav Huna. So how does Rav Huna explain our Mishnah? So Amar Lecha Rav Huna, so Rav Huna responds, he says, V'sispera. He says, is that really a logical position to say? Ema Seifa Teunin Geniza Hashtat Sule Matzilinan Geniza Miboy. So Rav Huna will respond and say, well, hang on one second. Look at the last half of the Mishnah. The Mishnah also told us that these books of Nach, regardless of language, also must be buried. Remember, again, in a case where, let's say, the book is starting to wear out. Not in the case of a fire, a regular case. The book is starting to wear out. The Mishnah says that you need to bury it. It requires Geniza. So Rav Huna says, hang on one second. If you're telling me that these books of Nach, regardless of what language they were written in, can be saved from a fire on Shabbos, I can be Mechalel Shabbos, I can put out a fire to save these books of Tanakh or of Nach written in other languages, then wouldn't it be intuitively obvious that of course I also need to bury them, right? In other words, anything which has Kedusha, when it starts to wear out, needs to be buried, as we know, right? In other words, it requires Geniza. So Rav Huna is asking himself, like, why does the Mishnah have to specify that these books require Geniza if a second ago you just told me that I can be Mechalel Shabbos to save a book that's written in English, right? That seems to be obvious, right? Why would the Mishnah have to repeat the fact or have to explicitly state that I can save these books? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela Rav Huna Misaretz L'Tameh V'Rav Chista Misaretz L'Tameh. Rav Huna Misaretz L'Tameh Bein Shekorim Bohen Neviim Uvein Shein Korim Bohen Ksuvim. So Rav Huna says that what are we referring to in the Mishnah? When the Mishnah said that I can save something whether I read it or don't read it, that's a reference to Neviim versus Ksuvim, because we know that Neviim we often read as the Haftorahs. Ksuvim, even though we read the Chamesh Megillos, but the rest of Ksuvim we don't really read, right? In other words, we don't read from Sefer Daniel or Nehemiah or different Ayamim or whatever. So Gemara says, "Bamed dvar mamurim sheksuvin b'lashon hakodesh, aval b'chol lashon ein matzilin va'afilu hachi geniza ba'u." So comes Rav Huna and explains that again, when it comes to books that are written in other languages, languages, they do require, in other words, they have a certain measure of Kedusha, not enough to allow you to be Mechal Shabbos, but enough Kedusha that if they were starting to wear out, you would need to bury them. So that's why Rav Huna says the Mishnah has to specify both of these halachos, because they have two separate standards, right? In other words, the books do not have enough Kedusha to be Mechal Shabbos, but they do have enough Kedusha to require Geniza. That's according to Rav Huna. However, Rav Chista Misaris, I mean, Rav Chista disagrees with that. He says no. He says, Bein Shekorin Bahen Neviim, Uvein Shein Korin Bahen Ksuvim, Afal Pi Sheksuvim Bechol Lashu Nami Matzilim. According to Rav Chista, he says it doesn't matter what language the Sefer is in, even if it's written in English, you can still be Mechalel Shabbos to save the Sefer. So then what does the Mishnah mean then? Why does the Mishnah have to specify the fact that I need to bury it, right? That would seem to be obvious. The Gemara says, V'hachi ka'amar, u'mekak shelohen te'unim geniza, comes Rav Chista and explains that we're not talking about a regular book that's written in English. That, of course, requires geniza. That is obvious. What is the Mishnah adding when it says that you know, that these books require Geniza? It means when something is starting to really decay and wear out beyond repair, that's what requires Geniza. Because one might have thought that once a Sefer of Nach is worn out to such a degree, maybe it loses its Kedusha. The Mishnah says, no, you see that book still has enough Kedusha that it requires Geniza. So basically what the Gemara just did here is that it explained how this Mishnah could read both according to Rav Huna and according to Rav Chista. Because again, remember, the problem the Gemara was addressing is, why does the Mishnah have to specify that these books also need to be buried? Isn't that obvious? If I could be Mechal Shabbos to save, to save these books, that presumably means that they have Kedusha. So according to Rav Huna, the answer to that question is that really the books don't have enough Kedusha to be Mechal Shabbos, but they have enough Kedusha to bury. Whereas according to Rav Chista, he says they do have enough Kedusha to be Mechal Shabbos, and the Mishnah, when it says that you need to bury it, was talking about a sefer that's, you know, kind of basically decayed beyond repair. Okay, so... Oh, you're still muted, Billy. You're still... Yeah.
Where did we ever get to the point that we think that these things need to be buried? Where do we ever learn that from?
The notion that you need to bury something of Kedusha. Okay, so we're going to talk about that as we go on, but that seems to be something... Yeah.
Is it fair to say that everything that needs Geniza has Kedusha?
So, I would say sort of, because that was kind of the point of Rav Huna. Remember we said...
What's the exception? The language?
Well, maybe, meaning, even something written in English would be enough to require Geniza, but according to Rav Huna, would not be enough to allow you to be Mechal Shabbos. Remember, that was the whole point of Rav Huna's answer in how he explained the Mishnah. So you have to kind of, you know, almost say, you know, for, you know, basically, as we said before, there are different standards for different areas of halacha. So, you know, according to Rav Huna, the standards for being Mechal Shabbos are much higher than the standards for what requires Geniza, right? So he's going to say that things written, you know, B'chol Lashon would still require Geniza. Okay. So the Gemara now says, Meisvei.
So, Rabbi, I love to see it. It says,
Holy Scriptures.
Bible,
Holy Scriptures, yeah.
All written in English, nice translation.
Yeah, sure.
But you're saying that this actually would need to be buried.
If it starts to wear beyond repair, then maybe. It's possible. Yeah, it's possible. Okay. So the Gemara now says, Mesu, Hayuksuvim Targum v'chaloshon matzilin osan mibnei hadleika tiyufta de Ravuna. The Gemara now asks another question against Ravuna, which is that this Braisa says that if my book of Tanakh, whatever it was written in, let's say, Aramaic or in any language other than Lashon HaKodesh, I'm allowed to save that from the fire. Again, that seems to be against what Ravuna said, because Ravuna said that you're not allowed to save something from a fire unless it's actually written in Lashon HaKodesh. So Amar Lecha Ravuna, Haitana Sabar Ninu Likros Pahan. So Ravuna says, no, don't ask me a question from that Braisa, because the author of that Braisa was siding with the first opinion that we quoted in the Gemara earlier, namely, this Tana obviously holds that a person can read from books of Nach written in other languages, and as we pointed out in the Gemara before, in that case, according to that opinion, even Rav Huna himself would agree that you can save such a sefer from the fire. The Machlokas, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, as we pointed out, was only according to the opinion that says that you're not allowed to use these books to read from, but again, according to that opinion that says that you can read it, so then obviously, that even Rav Huna would agree that you would be allowed to read from it. Okay, the Gemara now says, Tashma, Hayuksuvin giftis mudis ivris ilmis yavanis, afal pishalo nitnu likros bahen, matzilin osan nehad leka tiyufta de Rav Huna. Now we have a third possible refutation on Rav Huna. The Gemara says that if, let's say, my Sefer Torah or my Book of Nach, whatever it was written in some other language. So the Gemara gives you a few examples. Giftis is Coptic. Coptic is the language that's spoken by Christians who live in Egypt. So Coptic, then you have the language of people from Madai. Now, Ivris, now we obviously usually call Ivrit, right, like Hebrew, But the truth is that the real Lashon HaKodesh that we talk about, as we'll see in the Gemara coming up, is what we call Lashon or Ksav Ashuris. Ashuris, or Assyria, the writing style from Assyria, that's the real Ksiva that we use for a Sefer Torah. And in fact, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah and in Menachos that if you use what's called Ksav Ivri, which is like a different font, a different style of writing, then actually your entire Torah is puzzled. You cannot write with that. So if I write it in Ivris or Ilmis, again, Elim was a place in I think near Shushan, or in Ksav Yevanis in Greek, and any of these other forms of writing. So the Gemara says, even though you're not allowed to read if they're written in any of these other languages, you can still salvage them from the fire, which again is a problem for Rav Huna, because Rav Huna kept on trying to convince us before that I can only save something from a fire if it was specifically written in Lashon HaKodesh. So Amar Lecha Rav Huna, so Rav Huna will respond and say, no, Tanai, really, this is a Machlokes Tanai. Desanya, because the Braisa tells us, Hayuksufin Targumu V'chalashun Matzilin Oson Mepenei Hadeleka, Rabbi Yossi Omer in Matzilin Oson Mepenei Hadeleka. It's a Machlokes. According to the Chachamim, yes, you can save any book from the fire, regardless of the language, whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, he says, no, you're only allowed to salvage books that are written in Lashon HaKodesh. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maisa Ba'aba Chalafta, Shehalach Itzel Rabban Gamliel Beribi Letiveria, Umatzu Shaya Yoshev Al Shulchano Shal Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nazov, Uviyadu Sefer Iov Targum V'hu Korevo. So there was a story one time where Abba Chalafta went to Rabban Gamliel Berebi to Tveria, and he saw on the table of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nazov, he was holding a Sefer Iov. Right? Iov was one of the books of Ksuvim, and it happened to be an Aramaic translation of Sefer Iov, and he was reading from it. He was reading the Aramaic translation of Sefer Iov. So Amar Loso, he says to him, Zacharani Barabban Gamliel Avi Avicha, Shehaya Omer Al Gabi Maila Baharabai, so Heviu Lefanim Sefer Iov Targum, V'Amar Lebanai Shakeyu Tachas HaNidbach, Afu Tzivolov Uganzo. So Abba Chalafta tells him, he says, I remember about your grandfather Rabban Gamliel, that he used to read also the Aramaic translation of Sefer Iov up on Harabayis, and one time when he was reading it, he told one of the workers, one of the construction guys by Harabayis, he says, take the Sefer, and I want you to bury it underneath underneath the bricks, underneath the stones of Harabayis. Obviously, the Sefer had worn out beyond repair, so he wanted to do Geniza. He wanted to bury the Sefer, so he said, make sure you bury it underneath the stones. So Rabban Gamliel Berebi, in our story, also did that same thing. So once his Sefer, his Aramaic translation of Sefer Iov started to wear out, he also buried it. What's the point of the story? You see that when a Sefer is written in a different language other than Lashon HaKodesh, it requires burial. That's what you seem to see from the story, right? The Gemara. So now the Gemara starts to debate some of the details of the story. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Areva shall. Yeah.
Perhaps Aramaic had a different type of deduction.
Yeah, maybe, but it does not seem that way from this Gemara. This Gemara doesn't say that. Even though we mentioned this back in Brachos, we spoke about this, how Aramaic maybe has a different status in other languages. This Gemara does not seem to assume that that's the case. The Gemara seems to lump Aramaic Rabbi, together with everything else. Yeah.
Rabbi, is there a difference whether it's being read for the entire congregation versus read...
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm saying because... Again, we're theoretically talking about books of Ksuvim that are never read under any circumstances, right? Most of Ksuvim, aside from the Chamesh Megillos, we never read ever, and we're still talking about scenarios of theoretically being Mechal Shabbos to salvage them. So, yeah, so I don't think it has to literally be read, or not read. Okay, so the Gemara now says, Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Areva shel tit kafu alav. So according to Rabbi Yossi, it wasn't that they buried the Aramaic translation of Iov underneath the bricks, but rather they took a whole thing of mortar, of cement, and they buried it underneath the cement. Okay, so Amar Rebbe. So Rebbe responds to Rebbe Yossi. Shtei tshuvos b'davar. He says, I have two problems with your explanation. Chada, first of all, v'chitit b'harabayis minayin. Where was there cement on Harabayis? They didn't use cement on Harabayis. They used to use some mixture of lime and of sand and whatever. There was no actual mortar or cement on Harabayis. So first of all, just practically, where do they get the cement from? V'od v'chimutr la'abdan b'yad. The Gemara says, and again, forget about the details of what was it, a brick? Was it cement? Like, okay, that's a side point. The main problem is, how are you allowed to take a book of Iov, a book of Ksuvim, and just stick it underneath a cement or a brick or whatever, and just let the whole thing deteriorate? That's a serious problem. You're actively causing the book to basically decompose. So the Gemara says, no, rather what you have to do is, elamanichon mimkoma turfa vehin markivin me'alayan, you have to leave the sefer in an open area and just let it, kind of rot or decay on its own. Meaning, if you put it in a place that will speed up the decomposition process, that's a problem regardless of what language it's in. But to just leave it out and kind of just, you know, let nature take its course and let the sefer deteriorate, at its own pace, that would be okay. So the Gemara now points out, man tanoi. So who are these tanoim who are disagreeing about this point? So the Gemara says, ilei matana kama de Rabbi Yosi v'dilma b'hakom miflagei. Mar savar nitnu likros b'hen, umar savar lo nitnu likros b'hen. If you're going to tell me that the machlokas here is revolving around the opinion of the Tana Kama who argues on Rabbi Yosi, because again, the Tana Kama holds like Rav Chista, that I'm allowed to be mechalel Shabbos to save a sefer regardless of what language it's in, so, and that's against Rabbi Yosi, the Gemara says, that's not a compelling explanation of the machlokas, because one could argue that maybe what they're arguing about is simply whether these are types of things that you read in the first place. Again, as we pointed out before, right, we said that there is an opinion out there that holds that says that I am allowed to read books of Navi written in English or French or Aramaic or whatever. So according to that opinion, we said that even Rav Huna will agree, according to that first opinion, that I can salvage that from a fire on Shabbos. So you could theoretically argue that that's what they're arguing about. So the Gemara says, Ela Rabbi Yosi Vasana the giftus, it must be that this machlokes is between Rabbi Yosi, who says that I'm not allowed to salvage anything from a fire unless it's in Lashon HaKodesh, and the Tana that we quoted before. Remember the Tana we had of all the different languages. We said if it's written in Coptic or in Aramaic or in Greek or whatever, we said if it's written in any of those languages, then you can be Mechalel Shabbos to save them. So that is what the machlokes boils down to. Those two Tanaim, Rabbi Yosi and the Tana Kama from that other Brisa regarding the Sefer written in other languages, they're arguing about whether a Sefer written in any language other than Lashon HaKodesh, am I allowed to save that from the fire on Shabbos? Okay. The Gemara now continues, Tana Rabbanan, HaBrachos...
Sorry, go ahead. Is there a concern here that I was taking this from a Rishusa, the Yachid...
No. This has nothing to do with carrying. Although we are going to discuss that a little bit later in the parak, that issue of carrying. That's kind of a side point. The main issue here is in terms of the malacha of mechab, of extinguishing a flame. That's the concern here. The concern is
not extinguishing. I'm just taking books out.
No,
right?
But the fear is that if we start letting you take stuff out and you see the fire is getting too big, you're going to start to hose it down and whatever, and start to figure out a way to put it out. Correct. That's the issue here. Okay, so the Gemara now says, Tana Rabbanan, HaBrachos v'HaKameyen, Afal Pishi Yishban Otsios Shoshem Ume Inyonos Harbe Sheba Torah Ein Matzilin Osad Mebnei Hadleika El Nesrofim B'Mekoman Hein V'Azker Osayan Mikan Amru Kosvei Brachos Kistorfei Torah. The Gemara says that if a person writes various brachos on scrolls or amulets, which we've spoken a lot about earlier in this Masechta, right, writing amulets with, you know, Hashem's name or other psukim in it, for example, so even though they have Hashem's name in it, or even though they have psukim or other Torah ideas on these scrolls, you are not allowed to save them from the fire on Shabbos. Rather, you have to let them burn, including, says the Gemara, the names of Hashem that are in these scrolls, you also have to let them burn. Therefore, the Gemara says that if a person writes these types of brachos on scrolls, what they're basically doing is, it's like they're burning the Torah, because you're setting yourself up for a situation where, in the event that there's a fire, you will not be able to salvage it from the fire on Shabbos. So writing Shem Hashem on these types of scrolls is almost as if you're burning the Torah actively, because you know that you won't be able to salvage this from a fire on Shabbos. So the Gemara explains, Ma'isa be'echad shayu kosev b'tzidon. There was a guy who lived in Sidon who wrote all these brachos on scrolls. Ba'u ve'hodiyu es Rabbi Yishmael. So the other chacham told Rabbi Yishmael about this. V'holach Rabbi Yishmael levodko. And Rabbi Yishmael went to go check on this guy to see if the rumors were true. Kishahaya ole besulam, as this guy was going up the ladder, here Gishpo, he realized that Rabbi Yishmael was there. So what did he do? Natal tumos shel brachos ushkan b'seifel shamayim. He took all of his scrolls with the brachos on them, and he just dunked them into a huge basin of water. So the Gemara says, uvelashon azeh amar lo Rabbi Yishmael, gadol onesh ha'acharon min harishon. Rabbi Yishmael said about this guy that his last action of dunking the brachos of the scrolls in the water is worse than his first action of writing them in the first place. Because you could argue, at least writing them, you could say, okay, maybe the fire won't break out. And even if the fire breaks out, you're not actively destroying it. Taking the scrolls and dunking them in the water, you're actively destroying Hashem's name. So the Gemara says about that person that his latter action was even worse than his initial.
So that he should be allowed to save it from the fire?
No. That's the point, though. That's the point. Because you're not allowed to save it from a fire, when you go ahead and write it, you are quote-unquote burning a Torah, but if you actually dunk it in the water in the first place, that's even worse, because then you're actively destroying everything. At least in the case of the fire, you're not actively doing it, it's happening by itself, you've just set the situation up in the first place. Okay. The Gemara now says, Ba'amine resh galusa me'raba baravuna, ha'yuksuvin besam uvesikra bekumus uvekan kantom, belashon ha'kodesh, matzilin osob ne'atleka, o'ein matzilin. The Gemara now raises a question about what, in other words, for example, I have my books of Nach, they're written in Lashon HaKodesh, but the problem is they're written with the wrong type of ink. We touched on this briefly earlier, that we know that in order to have a kosher Sefer Torah, or a kosher Get, or Tefillin, or Mezuzah, you have to write with what's called Dio. Dio is basically just what we call black ink. These other inks that the Gemara mentions, your Sam, Sikra, Kumus, Kan Kantom, these are all types of inks that are temporary, that are puzzle. You cannot write a Sefer Torah with these types of inks. So what if I wrote the correct language, but I used the wrong type of ink? Am I allowed to salvage that from the fire on Shabbos? So the Gemara explains, Tiboy leman damar matzilin, Tiboy leman damar ein matzilin. Tiboy leman damar ein matzilin, Hani mile hecha dechsive targumu v'chaloshon, aval hocha dechsive v'loshon ha-kodesh matzilin. On the one hand, you could say, okay, I got the right language, so maybe that should be enough of a reason to be able to save from the fire. Oh, Dilma, maybe you could say, no, afilu leman damar matzilin, so Amar Lei Ein Matzilin, and the Gemara's conclusion about this case was that you are not allowed to salvage a sefer that's written in Lashon HaKodesh if it was not written with the correct ink. Okay, so the Gemara says, hang on a second, V'har Rav Hamnuna Tana Matzilin, didn't Rav Hamnuna teach a brisa that says that you are allowed to save these things from the fire? So Amar Lei, he says, okay, Itanya Tanya, if that's what it says in the brisa, then that's what it says, meaning the Gemara says, okay, so then that's the halacha. The halacha is that I am allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save a sefer written in Lashon HaKodesh, even though it was written with the wrong type of ink. So, my Tanya, what brisa are we referring to here? Amar Rav Ashi, Kid Asani, a Mishnah Meseches Megillah, Ein Bein Sfarim LeMegillah, Ela Sha Sfarim Nechtavim B'Chol Lashon, UMegillah Achet Hiksuva Ashuras Al HaSefer Uvidah. These are the famous Ein Bein Mishnayos. If you ever learn the first parak of Megillah, there's a whole slew of Mishnayos in the end of the first parak of Megillah that list a bunch of random halachos. You know, there's no difference between X and Y except for this. So, when the Mishnah lists that regarding the differences between a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah versus a Megillah, the Mishnah says that the only difference between a Sefer Torah and a Megillah is that a Sefer Torah can be written in any language, whereas a Megillah specifically has to be written with Ashuris, it has to be written on parchment, it has to be written with Dio, with the right type of ink. So what do you see from here? You see explicitly that even the wrong type of ink on anything aside from a Megillah is totally fine. So in other words, in fact, you can even read from such a thing, it sounds like, according to the Mishnah. Again, the Gemara Megillah debates the parameters of that halacha, but at least the simple reading of that Mishnah in Megillah implies that anything apart from a Megillah Sester, if it's written in another language, still has Kedusha. In fact, I can potentially even read from it according to one opinion in the Mishnah. Okay, so the Gemara now says, Ba'amine Rav Huna Bar Chaluv Me Rav Nachman, Sefer Torah She'in Bo Lelakin Shmone Mechamish Osios Kegon Parshas Vahib Ben Soa Ha'aron Matzilin Osom Nehadleka O Ein Matzilin. The Gemara now has a further question. Let's say I have a Sefer Torah, but I do not have 85 letters in the Torah, which corresponds to the number of letters that appear in the Psukim of Vayhi ben Soah Ha'aron that we read a few weeks ago in Parshas Bahaloscha. As we'll see in a second in the Gemara, those two Psukim of Vayhi ben Soah Ha'aron and of Uvnucho Yomar that we always say when you know take out and put back a Torah, those two Psukim, which total 85 letters, are actually considered to be an independent Sefer Torah. As we'll see in a second in the Gemara is going to assume that there are actually 7 Sefer Torah in contrast to the popular notion of only 5 Sefer Torah, because based on this notion that Vayhi ben Soah is an independent Sefer, that means that Sefer Bamidbar is effectively broken into 3 Sfarim. It's the first half until Vayhi ben Soah, and then everything after that, right? So it turns out you actually have 7 Sefer Torah instead of 5. Again, there's no real practical difference about whether we have 5 or 7 Sefer Torah, but this halacha regarding 85 letters is very significant, because the Gemara says that if my Sefer Torah has less than 85 letters that are intact, again, the Gemara is going to iron out the details of what this means in a second. So the Gemara has a shaila, am I allowed to save this type of a Torah from a fire? So the Gemara has to clarify the question. Amar lei, v'tiboy lecha parshas vayhi ben soah ha'aron gufa. So the Gemara says, hang on a second, instead of asking about a Torah that's missing a ton of letters, why not just ask about just the actual psukim of vayhi ben soah? Because again, vayhi ben soah, that section, those two psukim are 85 letters, so if a single letter is missing from those two psukim, that presumably should be invalid. So why doesn't the Gemara ask the question about vayhi ben soah ha'aron itself? Why are we asking about a regular Sefer Torah? So the Gemara says, no. Heichad the chasar parshas vahibin soa lo kami boyali, the chavon de ispe haskaros, afagav de lispe shmonim chamish osios matzilin. The Gemara says, no, because even if the section of vahibin soa was missing a letter, you would still be allowed to salvage it from the fire on Shabbos. Why? Because it also contains Hashem's name in it, right? Vahibin soa aron vayomer mashakuma Hashem, right? So Hashem's name appears in that section. So even if I had less than 85 letters, I would still be allowed to salvage that from the fire because of Hashem's name. Kikami boyali sefer Torah she'in bo lalakin mai. The question is, what if I have a regular Torah where I can't get 85 letters in one section together? There are letters, you know, scattered throughout the Torah that, you know, that are missing. And again, no one's saying that this Torah is kosher to read from. That's a separate issue. The question here is, am I allowed to save such a Torah from the fire on Shabbos? That's the issue. So Amar Le'in Latzil, the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, if I have a sefer Torah that is, that basically does not have 85 consecutive letters in one section of the Torah, there's always letters missing throughout the Torah, I would not be allowed to salvage to save such a Torah on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Esivei, Targum Shekasu Mikro, Mikro Shekasu Targum, Uchsav Ivris, Matzilim Nehadleika, Ve'ein Tzarech Lomar Targum Shebe Ezra V'Shebe Daniel V'Shebe Torah. So the Gemara says that if, let's say, for example, I have parts of Tanakh that were supposed to be written in Aramaic, but I wrote them in Hebrew, or vice versa, or let's say I wrote it in Ksav Ivris, which, again, as we mentioned before, is not the correct type of a font. You're supposed to write in Ksav Ashuris, right? Or let's say, for example, I wrote the Targum, because we know that certain parts of Tanakh are written in Aramaic. For example, Sefer Daniel, the majority of Daniel is written in Aramaic. Parts of Sefer Ezra are written in Aramaic. So let's say I wrote those parts in Hebrew instead of in Aramaic. So then the Gemara says, in all of those cases, you would be allowed to save them from the fire.
What part of Aramaic is there in the Torah?
That is the Gemara's next question. That's the Gemara's next question. Oh. Okay, so the Gemara wants to know, Targum Sheba Torah Maini, where is their Targum in the Torah? The Gemara says, Yigar Sahadusa, right? This is the famous, it's a pasuk at the end of Parshas Vayetze. That's correct. When Lavan and Yaakov are making a deal at the end of Parshas Vayetze, so Lavan calls the place where they are called, he calls it Yigar Sahadusa, which is basically just the Aramaic of Galed, which is what Yaakov calls the place. Okay. Either way, the Gemara says, V'yafal gav de lispa shmonim v'chami Josios. The Gemara says, what's the point here? The point is that even though these sections, right, Yigar Sahadusa is way less than 85 letters, and yet we're saying that if I wrote it in, let's say I wrote Galeid instead of Yigar Sahadusa, I can still save that from the fire on Shabbos, right? So the Gemara says, don't you see that everything we said before is wrong? Before we were arguing that if I don't have 85 consecutive letters in one area, so then I cannot be Mechal Shabbos to save. And now we're saying, now it seems to be not the case. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. Hitani Yahila Hashlim. That Brisa was talking about being Mashlim. That Brisa was discussing completing the Torah. In other words, what that basically means is that if let's say I had, I don't know, 88, let's say I had 75 letters, and then I wrote in the Hebrew or the Aramaic, in other words, I basically switched around what I was supposed to do, and then by doing that, I completed the number of 85, then I would be allowed to salvage that from the fire. That's what the Gemara means today. But you're right. If I just had the words Yigar Sahadusa by themselves, and let's say I wrote them in Hebrew instead of Aramaic or whatever, vice versa, so then, yes, then I would not be allowed to salvage that from the fire. Whereas, if I already had, let's say, I don't know, 75 letters, and then I just added in, let's say, the wrong translation, but then it ended up completing it to 85, then I would be allowed to save that from the fire on Shabbos. Okay, so the Gemara wants to know, when we talk about the notion of 85 letters, does that mean that the 85 letters have to be scattered, or do they all have to be kind of next to each other? So Rav Huna Amar Mechunasos, Rav Chista Amar Afilu Mefuzaros. So it's a machlokas. According to Rav Huna, they could be together, whereas Rav Chista says, no, even if they're scattered, that would also be enough to save it from the fire. So the Gemara asks, Meisvei, Sefer Torah Shebala, Im Yeshbo Lelakit Shmonim Mechamish Osios, Kigon Parshas Vahibin Soha, we have another refutation against Rav Huna here, because the Gemara says, if I have a Sefer Torah that's starting to wear out, so if I have, you know, at least 85 letters that are together in one place, like Vayhi Ben Soha Aron, so then I can save it, but if not, then I'm not allowed to save it, that would seem to be against Rav Huna, because this Gemara seems to imply that even if the letters are scattered all over the Torah, as long as there are 85 of them, that's enough to save the Torah, whereas Rav Huna said the 85 letters have to all literally be together. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Tirgama Rav Chista Aliv de Rav Huna Betevos. Rav Chista came and actually defended Rav Huna and said, no, maybe one could argue that the case of the 85 letters that were gathering together are talking about words. words. In other words, we're not talking about 85 letters. It's not like we're, you know, picking and choosing every single letter or making sure that you have 85 letters back to back to back, but rather the point here is more that you need to have just the words that are gathered together until you reach the number of 85 letters. So in other words, we're less concerned about having all the 85 letters in one area. We're more concerned about just having the whole words next to each other. That's the issue. Okay. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Vahim and Soha Haron Vayomer Moshe, Parsha Zo Asalah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Simanios Milamala Ulamata, Lo Mar She'in Zemekom. This is a famous idea. We know that, you know about the backwards nuns, right, from Parshas Bahaluscha, right, that are before and after Vahim and Soha Haron. So why is it that these backwards nuns exist in the first place? So the Gemara is telling you to teach you that this is not the correct location of Parshas Vahim and Soha Haron. It really belongs somewhere else. However, the Gemara says, Rebbe Omer, lo min hashem huzeh, that's not the reason why the backwards nuns are there. Ela mipnei shasefer chashavu bifnei atzmo. This is what we were talking about before, that according to Rebbe, it's actually the reason why you have the backwards nuns is almost, they're almost like brackets. It's almost to show you that this part of the Torah is kind of different. It's almost offsetting it from the rest of the Torah. So the Gemara says, Keman az lahad amar of Shulam bar Nachmeni amar Rabbi Yonasan, chatzva amudeh hashiva ilu shiva sefer Torah, keman kerebi. The Gemara has a drush, according to a pasuk from Mishle, that says that she carved out seven pillars. That's a reference to the seven books of the Torah. That, of course, is according to Rebbe. As we just pointed out before, Rebbe holds that there are actually seven books of the Torah because he views Vahim and Soha Haron as being an independent sefer. So now the Gemara says, Man Tana defalagali de Rebbe. Who's a Tana that disagrees with Rebbe? Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Desanya. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer. Asida parsha zosha teyaker mikan v'sikase b'mekoma. So according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, he says it's not true. He says, really, Vahim and Soha Haron is not a separate sefer. They're really only five books of the Torah. So then why do you have the backwards nuns? The backwards nuns are meant to show you, as we saw according to the first opinion of the Gemara, that Vahib and Soha Haron is in the wrong place. So the question, of course, is the Lama Kasakan. So if it's in the wrong place, then why did the Torah write it here? Why didn't it write it in the right place? So the Gemara says, Kidei lahasik bein Puranish Rishonah leFuranish Shnia. The Torah wrote Vahib and Soha Haron here to offset the first punishment, the first bad thing Bnei Yisrael did from the second bad thing they did. So what exactly are we referring to here? Puranish So the second Puranas is when Bnei Yisrael were constantly complaining about the mud, about the slav, about all the things that, you know that they wanted in the Midbar. Puranas Rishona vayisu mehar Hashem, va'amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina shasaru me'acharei Hashem. Whereas the first Puranas was the fact that Bnei Yisrael basically turned away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'heichan mekoma amravashi b'degalim. Where is the correct location of the parsha Vayib and Soha Haron? The Gemara says, according to Ravashi, it really belongs in the parsha of the degalim, back in parshas Bamid. When we talk about all the flags and all the encampments of Bnei Yisrael, that's where Vayib and Soha Haron belongs, because we know that the Aron traveled in front of Bnei Yisrael when they were traveling. So it makes sense that section really belongs in the context of the arrangement and the encampment of Bnei Yisrael. That's really where it makes the most sense for that section to appear.